When he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require. If thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? In verse number 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. And I love this phrase. Pastor Pease mentioned his top 10 of phrases, and I don't know what his top 10 is, but this is a great phrase in the Word of God. He said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? There is absolutely no ambiguity in this passage about the fact that God had set Ezekiel as a watchman to the house of Israel. And there is no ambiguity tonight about the application that we take from this passage, or that we can take from this passage. And the application is very simple. God has set each and every one of us in here tonight as a watchman. You may not be a pastor here tonight, but you may be a daddy. You may not be a pastor here tonight, but you might be a mom. You might be a wife. You might be a husband. You might be a school teacher. You might be a Sunday school teacher. I don't know the influence that you may have tonight, but God has given every single one of us in here tonight influence over a specific group of people. And because of that, He has set us to be a watchman for that specific group of people. Whether it's a flock, whether it's a family, we have been set as watchmen, and we cannot fall asleep, and we cannot leave the wall. I believe one of the great problems in our day and time, even in Christian circles, is that maybe we haven't left the wall, but we have begun to be not as sensitive to how serious the sword really is. And so tonight I want to speak to you tonight. We'll look here in Ezekiel chapter number 33. And I want us to see this truth. I have set thee a watchman. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, we sure do love you tonight. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house one more time. We're thankful to be able to open up your pure, precious, preserved word one more time, and to be able to be helped and encouraged, and yes, maybe convicted, and yes, hopefully changed tonight. I pray that every single individual here tonight, I pray that all of us would be stirred to this truth about being the watchman on the wall. Whatever wall you have put us on, whether it be the wall of our family, whether it be the wall of this church, whatever the wall is, Father, may we see the great responsibility. Father, may we not fall asleep. May we not leave the wall. May we not become AWOL. May we not grow apathetic and complacent about the danger of the sword. Father, may we be stirred to action tonight. May we be stirred to be faithful and committed and diligent upon that wall tonight. Father, we'll thank you even right now for what you're going to do in these next few moments that you give us. I pray for our dear folks back home tonight as they get ready in just about half an hour to begin services, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them tonight, stir them, help them as only you can. And as you know that you're going to do even better than I do, Lord, I pray that you'd work in their hearts tonight. Lord, help us. I pray that you'd put away the arm of flesh tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom to move among these pews tonight. We'll praise you and thank you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give number one tonight. And number one, I want to give you some thoughts. All of the thoughts don't necessarily come from Ezekiel 33 tonight. But I do want us to see, first of all, tonight, the danger from the sword. The danger from the sword. We mentioned just a moment ago, the sword that is being spoken of here is the sword from Jehovah, from God Almighty. And make no mistake, God's sword is always a sword of righteous judgment. It's always a sword of judgment and justice. However, I want us to see tonight that the world, the flesh, and the devil also wield a sword tonight. And the danger that is from that sword is serious. It's true, and we cannot take it too lightly. And I want to give us just a few thoughts about the danger from the sword tonight. And I want us to see, first of all, as we think about the danger from the sword, I want us to see, first of all, the danger of a country being defeated. The danger of a country being defeated. We're thinking about the danger from the sword. The Bible says in verse number 2, Son of man, speak to thy children, or excuse me, to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land. The danger from the sword, the danger of a country being defeated. And I want us to think about that in light of us and the danger of our dear country being defeated, not necessarily from a foreign sword or from a foreign enemy, but right from the inside, because we have failed to live the way God has asked us to live. We know the Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Tonight, we do not need more money. We do not need more education. We do not need more programs. We need more of the Word of God. Government's answer to everything is to throw more money at it. That is not the answer. The answer for our nation when we have a problem, and I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, wouldn't it be a great thought or wouldn't it be a great thing if we heard a politician say, hey, let's go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about this. This is the problem that we're having. What does the Bible say about this? But we don't hear that. What we do hear is, let's give more money, let's throw more money, let's have more programs, let's do this or do that, instead of coming to the Word of God. And so the danger from the sword, there's the danger of a country being defeated. Judges chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. The danger of a country being defeated. And please understand tonight, I love America just as much as you do. I am thankful that I've been born in the United States of America. That's the grace of God. And I'm thankful for that tonight. But listen and hear me very clearly. America's not going to survive just because she has a great military. And she does, and I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for our men and women who have served and who continue to serve. I'm thankful for that, but she's not going to survive because of a great military. She's going to survive when we turn back to God. And God said, and the Bible says in Judges 2, He said, look, the anger of the Lord had been hot against Israel because of their sin, and what did He do? He delivered them into the hand of the enemy. The danger of a country being defeated. Secondly, we're talking about the danger from the sword, the danger of a country being defeated, but secondly, the danger of our children being devoured. The danger of a country being defeated, but secondly, the danger of our children being devoured. If we don't stay on the wall, mamas and daddies, if we don't stay on the wall, there is the opportunity for our children to be devoured. Listen to what the Bible says, the book of Lamentations. Of course, we know that Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah, and it's written after, or it's written in conclusion to the book of Jeremiah, and he's speaking about the captivity. He's speaking about everything that has happened to Judah. He's speaking about the judgment that had come upon them. And in Lamentations 1, verse number 5, the Bible says this, "Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy." You know who reaps most of the time, who reaps the consequences of a mama and a daddy who fail to stay on the wall? It's the children. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse number 22. Listen. Lamentations 2, 22. "Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed." Hey, Dad, is that a statement you want to make one day? I guarantee you no. No, Mama, is that a statement you want to make one day? "Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed?" You know why the children had been consumed in the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations? Because of their sin. Because Judah had failed to stay on the wall for their children. Judah had failed to stay on the wall for themselves, for that matter. We see the danger of a country being defeated. We see the danger of children being devoured. We see the danger of a church being deceived. We're talking about the danger from the sword. When we fail to stay on the wall, there's the danger of the church being deceived. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 20, verses 28 through 30, the Bible says, "Take heed." Here's the Apostle Paul. He's speaking to the Ephesian elders. This is the last time he's going to see them. So and by the way, at the end of that chapter, at the end of Acts 20, they hug and they weep and they kiss each other because they know they're not going to see each other. They know they're not going to see Paul's face again. And Paul tells him in verse number 28, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." That's why the church is so valuable, because it's been purchased with the life's blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so precious, and that's why it's so valuable. He said, "To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this," the Apostle Paul speaking, he said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." There's the chance of a church being deceived. Can I encourage you with something tonight? You may not always understand your pastor's decisions, and you may not always agree with them. But can I tell you, one of the reasons he makes them is because he's standing on the wall for his church. Is that he doesn't want the false doctrine to come in. He doesn't want the wolves to come in. He doesn't want the enemy just to flow in this place and to devour the church. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Ephesians 4, verse number 14, the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hey, look, if your pastor says, "Look, we're not going to use that curriculum, we're not going to sing that type of music, we're not going to allow those influences to come into our church," you might not agree with it, but don't get upset at him. Just understand, he's trying to stand on the wall for you. He's trying to stand on the wall for you. He's trying to stand on the wall for his children. He's trying to stand on the wall for this community. The danger from the sword. There's the danger of a country being defeated, of children being devoured. There's the danger of a church being deceived. There's the danger, finally, of the condemned never being delivered. Let me give you a verse if you're taking notes, or two verses. We're talking about staying on the wall. We're talking about being the watchman on the wall. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Anybody know? Lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And when we don't stay on the wall and we don't see the sword coming, and we even maybe we fail to see the danger of that sword, there is the danger of a country being defeated. And by the way, don't you see that in our country already? Yes, hey, it's not San Francisco's fault that America is where she's at. Now, there are some sick things that go on there, just as there are some sick things that go on all across our country. But it's not San Francisco's fault. It is the fault of generations of parents who failed to teach their children the Word of God. And now we're reaping the result of that, and we're reaping generations of people who don't even know what the Bible says. And because they don't know what the Bible says, they don't know how to live themselves. They don't know how to teach their children to live. They're ignorant. And that's not a bad word. That just means they're uninformed. They're uneducated. There have been generations who have failed to pass the Word of God along. The danger from the sword. Look again here in Ezekiel 33. Number two tonight. Number one, we see the danger from the sword. We've seen several dangers there, but I want you to see, secondly, the directive to the sentinel. We see the danger from the sword, but secondly tonight, we see the directive to the sentinel, to the soldier, to the watchman that's supposed to be on the wall. And by the way, the Lord had such concern for His people that He commissioned a watchman for Israel. Hey, teenagers tonight, God gave you that mama and daddy because He's concerned about you. Amen. He gave you a mama and daddy who brought you to church tonight because they're concerned about you. And more than that, He's concerned about you. And God was so concerned about the nation of Israel and His people that He set a watchman over them. And God has set many watchmen over us, and it would be to our greatest interest to take heed to those watchmen. It would be our greatest interest. We see the directive to the sentinel. Let's begin. Actually, let's go back to verse number 3 if we could. If when he seeth a sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman. Here's the directive, here's the sentinel, the watchman. God is giving him, or God is giving Ezekiel, if you will, he's giving him commands, he's giving him a commission, he's giving him some directives. He says, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. The first directive tonight comes right from verse number 7. The first directive is this: hear the word and herald the warning. What is the first directive that God has given to the watchman, to the sentinel? It is to hear the word and to herald the warning. It is to hear the word of God and know what the word of God says, and then herald, trumpet the warning, if you will. And by the way, that's why it is so vital that we know what the Bible says. That's why it's so vital that we hear the Word. That's why, and you're here on Sunday night, I'm so thankful for that. But that's why it's vital that we don't miss the services at our church. That's why it's vital that we don't miss our daily time in the Word of God, because that's when we hear from God. And He said, hear the Word and herald the warning. If we know what the Bible says and we refuse to herald it, He said, the blood's on our hand. You say, but Pastor, if I herald the warning, my family's going to get upset. Herald the warning. Amen. You say, Pastor, I have a teenage daughter, and if I herald the warning, she's going to get upset at me. She's going to be mad. I have a teenage son, and if I herald the warning, he's going to be upset at me. He's going to be mad at me. Listen, I'd much rather them be upset for a little while than for the enemy to come and devour them. I'd rather them be upset for a little while than have to make the statement that we read just a moment ago in Lamentations 2:22, those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed. Hey, herald the warning. Someone was telling me the story of a pastor. Another pastor was telling me the story of one of his pastor friends. And this pastor had a daughter. When she turned 18, she turned very rebellious toward her parents. She had a young man that she was dating, and her parents just refused to let them date. They didn't want them to date. Of course, they snuck around and dated a little bit, but they refused to let them get married, and they refused, and they refused, and they refused, and finally, the dad just gave in. Finally, that after saying, no, this guy's not good for you. It's not going to end up well. No. Finally, he gave in, and he said, go ahead. He said, go ahead, just marry him. They got married, had two children. About 10 years down the road, they got divorced. The daughter reconciled with her parents and repented of some things and got right with her mom and dad, but she was with her dad one day, and she told her dad, she said, Dad, I'm thankful for the fact that you tried to warn me. She said, but Dad, I wish you had kept saying no. She said, Dad, I wish you had kept saying no. She said, Dad, if you'd kept saying no, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. She said, Pastor, they're going to get upset. Herald the warning. If you know what the Word says, and when we hear the Word and we know exactly, we know it's absolutes, then let's herald it. We see the first directive, hear the Word and herald the warning. We see the second directive, see the threat and sound the trumpet. We've already seen that in verses 2 through 6, especially in verse number 2. See the threat and sound the trumpet. You see the sword coming, you sound the trumpet. You see the threat, you sound the trumpet. 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? What we need today is some certain sounds from the trumpet. The Bible says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? You know what we need to hear as Christians from our pastors and from men of God? We need to hear certain sounds. We need to hear clarity. We don't need, well, if I say this, somebody's going to get upset. Listen, if it's the Word of God, we need to just say it and let the Lord take care of the problems. The first directive, hear the Word and herald the warning. See the threat and sound the trumpet. Number 3, we're talking about the directives to the sentinel. Hear the Word and herald the warning. Hey, sentinel, you need to stay on that wall. You need to stay alert. You need to stay vigilant. You don't need to fall asleep. You need to hear the Word. You need to herald the warning. You need to see the threat coming, and you need to sound the trumpet. And thirdly, you need to bear the responsibility, or the blood will be required. Hear the Word and herald the warning. See the threat and sound the trumpet. Bear the responsibility, or the blood will be required. That's whether you're a daddy or a mama. That's whether you're a Christian. Look, God has given us a great commission to give the gospel. And I shudder to think of the number of people that have passed my path that God placed in my path to give the gospel, and I didn't give them the gospel. I believe there will be a day when their blood will be required at my hand. That's a sobering thought. The application's clear. He has set us as watchmen on the wall. That is one of the swords that we see very clearly. The sword of hell, the sword of eternal damnation. We see that very clearly. And God has set us as watchmen on the wall. He set you as watchmen on the wall here in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. He set my family as watchmen on the wall in Ripley and Brownsville, Tennessee, and that whole little area that He gives us influence over. He has set us as watchmen on the wall. Bear the responsibility, or the blood will be required. It's like Pastor P said this morning, but so often we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. I like my comfort zone, don't you? That's why it's my comfort zone. That's where I'm comfortable, right? That's where you're comfortable. But you know, there's a psalm. I forget which psalm it is. There's a psalm where it talks about doing business in great waters. You see, we can stay close to the shore, but that's not where the big business is. The big business, the large catches of fish are out in the great waters. And we can stay on the shore and we can stay in the dock, but that's not where the abundance of the fish are. The abundance of the fish are out in the great waters. And he says we have to do business. We have to transact in the great waters. Hear the word and herald the warning. See the threat and sound the trumpet. Bear the responsibility or the blood will be required. We see the danger from the sword. And I hope you see it tonight. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I believe 21st century American Christianity is way too cozy with the world. And I'm talking about myself. Way too cozy with the world. We like the world's entertainment. We like the world's music. We like the world's dress. We like the world's everything. God said, come out from among them and be ye separate. And my life ought to be different than the world. My entertainment ought to be different. My music ought to be different. My dress ought to be different. My tongue ought to be different. Everything about me ought to be different. Why? Because I'm the temple of God. I'm the temple of God. I've been purchased with a high price. Let me give you number three lastly and we'll be done. We see the danger from the sword. We see the directive to the sentinel. And finally tonight, we see the delight of the Savior. We see the delight of the Savior. Verse number 11. Verses 7, 8, 9, 10, he's given directives there. He's given directive to see the threat and sound the trumpet. Verse number 11. He says, saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's encouraging, he's challenging, he's trying to convince Ezekiel, look, you need to be the watchman on the wall because you need to help your people to turn to me. You need to help your people to turn from their sin and turn back to me. You need to help your people see that it's their transgressions that are leading them into captivity. You need to help them to turn back to me. Why? Because I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God has no pleasure in someone that stays in sin and stays in sin. He wants them to repent. He wants them to turn around and come back. Hey, Pastor Pete, this morning in the book of Jonah, Jonah is absolutely a book of love because God is, it says it there several different times, or the Lord prepared. Let me ask you, how long was the Lord preparing that whale? I don't know, he could have made it happen just like that. I believe that with all my heart. But how long was he preparing that whale because of his mercy to Jonah? Oh, he's a God of love, of mercy. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why does the Savior commission the sentinels? He does so because he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why has he commissioned you tonight? Mama, daddy, husband, wife, Faith Baptist Church member. Why has he commissioned you tonight as a watchman on the wall, as a sentinel? Because he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Our human nature sometimes, I think we kind of revel sometimes when people get what we think is their just due. But that's not God. God says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Because our Savior delights not in the death of the wicked. He delights in repentance. He delights in reconciliation. He delights in redemption. He delights in righteousness. He delights in repentance. He delights in reconciliation. And by the way, that's what he requires of the sinner is repentance. Repentance. Now, all of us from the South, we use this beautiful phrase, oh, bless your heart. When we feel sorry for somebody, oh, you just don't know better. Bless your heart. And listen, that's not how God works when it comes to sin. God's not going to one day, when we stand before Him, He's not going to say, oh, bless your heart. No. God delights in repentance. He delights in reconciliation. By the way, what activates God's mercy is a repentant, humble heart. That's what activates God's mercy, a repentant and a humble heart. You look in the Old Testament at the story of Ahab. Ahab was a wicked king, wasn't he? Do you know there was a time in his life when he repented and God gave him mercy? Ahab? Jezebel's husband? Yeah, there's a time in his life when he humbled himself and he repented, and that activated the mercy of God, and God forgave him for a short season of time. The danger from the sword, the directive to the sentinel, the delight of the Savior. Mom and Daddy, tonight, God will have no delight if your children turn out rebellious. That's why He has set you on the wall of that home. He has set you on that wall. And when the enemy desires to come in, you say, uh-uh, not in here. When that wicked entertainment desires to come in, you say, no. That TV show's not going to be watched in this house. That song's not going to be listened to in this house. Those kind of activities, those kind of actions, that attitude, we're not going to have that in this house. Watchman on the wall. If you're going to be, and I promise I'm done, if we're going to be a watchman, we have to be vigilant. We have to be diligent. Anything worth having, you know it. Anything worth having takes hard work. Anything worth having takes diligence and takes vigilance. Hey, daddies, any daddy can come home at 6 o'clock at night and get in the recliner and turn the TV on and get the remote. That's easy. You say, Pastor, you're just a pastor. You don't work as hard as I do. Maybe true. Might be true. But it doesn't matter who the hardest working man is in here tonight. The easiest thing to do when you get home at night is to get in your recliner and do nothing else the rest of the night. The harder thing to do is to turn the TV off, spend time with your family, and open the Word of God and teach them what the Bible says. That is being a watchman on the wall. And God help us. I would love to speak more. And Pastor said I could, because he said the more I preach, the less practice he has to do tonight. But I'm done so he can go practice. Amen. Serious business. I have set thee a watchman. O son of man, I've set thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Who has He set you a watchman to? Children? Sunday school kids? Elizabeth City? I don't know, but I believe all of us in our hearts know what walls God has placed us on tonight. Let's don't come down. Let's don't fall asleep. Let's be alert. Father, thank You for the time You've given us tonight. Father, I pray that You'd stir all of our hearts tonight. Help us to be that watchman on the wall. You've commissioned us. You've given directives to the sentinels. Father, I pray that we would listen and heed those directives tonight. Father, thank You for Your word. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Excuse